Should we do better cold open than that?
No, we shouldn't.
Let's do it fast because, you know.
I'm running out of time.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Like time on my body.
All right, old man. Hello and welcome to episode 429 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Did I say the intro right? I wasn't paying attention because I was kind of reading ahead on the notes.
No, you said it completely wrong. No, I wasn't paying attention. I wouldn't know.
Why would you pay? Look who I'm asking.
Yeah.
Why would you be paying attention?
I feel like your inflection was slightly off.
You want to try it again?
No.
No. No, you don't.
No.
Hi, my name is Alan, too. No, that's right. I don't write that part down. That's just muscle memory.
Yeah, good for you.
I think I was in my head, while I was saying that, I was trying to figure out if 429 is a prime number. It isn't.
Right.
You can divide it by three. So, here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's 143 times 3.
Okay.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Yay.
Aren't you glad I said that?
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah. Okay. Amazon, if you need a calculator, which why would you need a calculator, honestly, these days?
Right.
We talked about it last week. You can make phone calls on your camera, as we talked about last week. You can use your camera to do calculations, too.
Yeah, or your watch, calculator watch.
Oh, calculator watch, Velcro shoes, kangaroo shoes.
Those yeah, ruse.
Yeah, ruses. That's right. R-U-S-E. That's the ruse. The I never thought of that. That's what they should have called them because they just.
But they were R-O-O-S, right? R-O-O-S.
Yeah, like kangaroos, yeah. But ruse like you know what ruse means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a scam, a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. But those were the ones with the little pouch that you could put your 38 cents in on your way to school. You didn't have enough room to put anything real in there, but just enough room for 38 cents.
I don't know that I ever had a pair of those.
I never did, but I tested the pockets on my friends.
Yeah.
It's like okay. pouch invasion.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Jeff, can you hold my 8 cents until PE class?
That's right.
Now, but when I was a kid, though, I all the time, I would put money in my sock.
Okay.
Like I was a money in the sock kind of guy, like coins too.
Wow, that's uncomfortable.
Well, when you're wearing super super small Adidas shorts with no pocket,
what choice? What do you have?
Where are you putting your money?
That's right.
Yeah. So I always liked going up to buy a soda and handing a guy a sweaty $2 bill.
Okay.
Which we had, and they don't have those in America. I don't think you have $2 bills.
Not anymore.
In America, I don't think they ever did.
Sorry, they never did. That's true. Yeah,
I think you're all one. So we used to have ones, twos, and fives. Now we obviously just have the coins up until five. But anyways, I digress. Point being is like, hey, here, let me get that bubble gum or whatever I was buying as a kid. Probably Playboy magazine.
Sure. But,
here's a sweaty five for you, sir.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that has anything to do with photography at all.
Not much, no.
Yeah. What's going on there, man? Is the back pain done yet?
Nope. Since we just are recording two consecutive episodes, it's worse than it was 20 minutes ago. So.
Oh,
yay. You know what I'm rubbing? This is totally old man syndrome. I'm rubbing a cream on my back, like kind of like a... I'm rubbing like it's sort of it's a rib area mid back pain, and I'm rubbing a special concoction that is sold in the interior of British Columbia. It's actually quite a good topical pain reliever. I don't know what's in it.
Is it not horse liniment?
It's not pharmaceutical, but it's called Pain Be Gone. There's my shout out as I'm spasming and saying that for this company because the stuff is pretty good. It lasts a couple hours. Pain be gone. That's what I'm going with right now.
And it's exclusive to the interior of British Columbia.
Well, I think they ship it out. They make it in Kelowna, I believe. I think it's made in Kelowna, but it's all okay. over. It's all over the West Coast because it it showed up in, I think I want to say, what are the Canadian TV awards, like what's that called?
The Genies?
Something like one of those big award shows. I don't know. It was in the gift basket a couple of years ago in a big award show. It might have been an American award show. Okay. And
the
then
Junos?
Yeah, I think it was the Junos, and then it exploded after being given out in the gift basket.
This isn't the one that they sell on TV that you buy at the gas station, which is the glue stick you rub on your forehead.
No, it's not. It's not that. Yeah.
What's that one called?
I don't know.
You've seen the ads. I've seen the ads. They're hilarious because it's obviously not a thing.
I've never seen the ad.
You. I guarantee you've seen the ad. It's hilarious because all they do is repeat the name over and over again. Yet it somehow slipped out of my head.
Okay.
It's not called Pain Be Gone. Nothing smart and witty like that.
Yeah, that's a great name.
Yeah. It's not good like Ruse. That's a better one. So Amazon. Did we talk about Amazon yet?
Think we did, but maybe not. I'm not sure.
It could have been last episode. I don't know. I'm still focused on how many numbers can go into 429. So
okay.
Amazon. Oh yeah, buy your calculator. We said that.
Yeah.
We're saying
it again. Click through twice. If you just bought something, just buy it again.
Yeah. Well, sure. I haven't bought anything on it. Oh, I almost bought a snowboard helmet, but then I didn't, of course, as we talked about last week.
I have not bought anything either, although the hockey team gifted me an Amazon gift card for, you know, all the photos I took. It was a very nice gesture, so maybe I'll be buying something in the near future.
How much was it for?
I'm not speaking about money on this podcast.
No, but it's not about the money part. It's about how much
you just made it about the money. No way. It's about purchasing power.
No, okay, I understand what you're saying. It's not about how much they gave you, but it's all about, you know, hey, what is your mindset? Like what are you looking to spend it on?
Something small, something probably in the way of a fun little, you know, training aid to play baseball with Jack, like something.
That's
like
what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy.
Oh, you know what you need?
What's that?
I actually have never used one before because I'm old. But our coach brought one out to practice in the gym practice last night.
Okay.
It's called I think it's called a reaction ball. Have you heard of these?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like it's got little kind of bumps on it. Like yeah. Skills reaction ball. They make the. Is it fun?
I hurt my back.
Okay. All right. I'm not getting one then. Yeah.
No, I didn't hurt my back. It's fun, and I want to use it more, although my reaction time is pretty amazing. But it's because I chew tobacco, though. The Copenhagen keeps me sharp. I've heard people say that, legitimately.
One of the other things I was looking at is one of these, like, you know, baseball bats that's, like, super thin. Like, it's the same length as a regular baseball bat, but it's, like, the hitting surface is tiny, and then you throw little foam balls, or little wiffle balls, just tiny ones to work on, just contact. Because I thought that would just be a good one, not just for Jack, but just for anyone else on our baseball team, like for 5 minutes each practice, just to practice hitting tiny targets.
That is a phenomenal exercise for hitting.
Yeah, just hand eye and just, you know, because if you can hit.
I mean, I know he's good. He's getting into it. And he's very young too. So which is like, he's pretty young to be getting into the super fine points like launch angle and that. But there is a book. There is one book that is coming all of a sudden coming back in vogue, you know, a scant 50 years after it was released, that I recommend that you look for. An original print, which I happen to have, I think would be kind of expensive. Get the Science of Hitting by Ted Williams.
Okay.
It's wildly simple too. Like there's no real, it doesn't break, you know, it doesn't go nuts with spin rates on the balls and this and that. But all the things that he talked about, like he wrote the book, I think he wrote the book in the 60s, and nothing has really changed since then. I mean, he talks about the basics and all the things that Jack needs to be doing to refine his stroke are coming. Like you must have heard, for example, you must have heard many of the coaches, you know, tell the kids, hey, it's changing now though, so maybe not. But hey, nice level swing, buddy. Get a nice level swing.
Yeah,
that's nonsense.
Mm-hmm. And actually, that's a thing you hear just more parents say. I mean, occasionally if a kid's doing a complete like nonsense uppercut, then they'll try to tell them level swing to sort of hopefully they'll meet somewhere halfway in the middle. But a kid that has a nice swing that has, you know, just a little bit of an up sweep, they're not telling that kid to level out their swing.
Fair enough. But when I grew up, it was always, oh, level swing.
Yeah, and that was just contact, right? They just wanted you to put the ball somewhere in play.
Yeah, but you get more contact from having an upswing.
Well, it's just physics. Exactly. The ball's coming down slightly as the bat should be coming up slightly to meet it at the midpoint.
It opens up the contact zone for you. So anyway, great book. I think you can find it on Amazon. Click through our site. There you go. Three times, one episode. Kablam.
Will do. This is a general Craigslist complaint. And maybe you can echo these sentiments. I don't know if Germany is the same, but
no Craigslist, but yes.
Okay. So you ever run across, the Craigslist ad that's like literally 2 minutes from your house that has a whole bunch of things that you want, like a huge list of things. Like in the case that I'm, using as an example, an old baseball coach is cleaning out his garage and he's just got a list of all this stuff. It's all stuff that's very reasonably priced. And the upside is it could not be closer to my house. And the ad went up just like when I first contacted the seller, the ad had been up for like a day and it's got just tons of stuff. Stuff, someone's going to go and buy two or three things, but nobody's going to buy the entire list because he's got just way too much stuff. So email the guy. No response. Ad's still up there. 2 days later, I'm like, okay, well, maybe it went to his junk box or maybe he's away or whatever. A couple days later, ad's still up, all the stuff. Send another email. Still no response. I'm literally 2 minutes from this house. His address is on the Craigslist ad. And and most frustrating thing, it's almost like someone's just jerking my chain. Hey, here's a whole bunch of stuff you want at a great price, yet no response from the seller.
Do I know him?
No, I'm just saying like this, I've never come across this scenario. I'm sure others do where the seller just doesn't ever respond.
Yeah, I've not had that happen.
No, it seems weird, but I'm sure others have, but incredibly frustrating. So just there. I think the seller should either take their ad down or say, you know, go screw yourself, right? Like something.
What is it that you're trying to buy from him?
He's got like, you know, catcher's mitts and he's got like buckets of baseballs and he's got catcher's gear and he's got like.
Wait, is it my dad?
No, it's not in his neck of the woods. He's got all kinds of stuff. He's got training gear, bats, the list is pretty long. He's got like little swing trainers, like the ones where you put it on your lead elbow and on your wrist and just helps keep the kids from casting their arms out, like, which again, I think our team could benefit from. All sorts of just, he coached baseball for years and years, but this stuff is incredibly reasonably priced, like pitch counters, just little things, but they're like $5 for this. I mean, the full catcher's gear, I think was $50. Which I thought, again, it's Jack loves playing catcher. I thought, oh, you know, having his own catcher's gear, we could mess around with that. I just even thought the extra bucket of baseballs. I have a bunch of baseballs, but you can never have enough baseballs.
Nope, that's true.
And the catcher's mitt, I want to say he had two different catcher's mitt, youth size catcher's mitts, and he was asking $10 a piece. And I thought, oh, great, to have his own catcher's mitt would be nice as well.
You got it. Yeah. All right. Well, let us know how that goes.
Well, he's never going to answer, so I just told you how it's going to go, yeah.
Okay, well, let us know how it goes anyway.
Okay.
reminder, monthly photo challenge this month is a portrait of a semi-stranger. Again, high degree of difficulty. So I expect, unfortunately, a low turnout this month. However, it would be nice if it's not. This is a very worthwhile project, which I have not done myself yet. I'll be honest with you, we're halfway through the month. I'm going to have to focus on this week getting it done and figuring out who I would consider a semi-stranger, because I don't really talk to people. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like a hermit in regular life.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to figure out who I have a relationship with and somewhat and see if I can photograph them. I'm wondering if like who I've spoken to her three times in my life. I wonder if my daughter's grade two teacher. Does that count? Is that, or do I already know her too much? Is there too much of a relationship there?
Right. I think so. I think that's too well developed.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you for making it more difficult on me.
Yeah. Good luck.
You were allowed to then shoot your kid's teacher, but now you blew it.
Okay.
Good job.
Thanks.
Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge or hashtag hey hosers. And we'll check that out. And I urge you to do this. This one is very difficult. Hence the challenge part at the end of that monthly photo challenge is what the point of it is. Did you shoot anything interesting since we talked 40 minutes ago?
No, but just based on when this will get published, I will have just returned from Mexico for spring break for a week. So
right.
I'm hoping that the answer to that question is yes. I'm hoping that I did shoot some interesting photos from the resort.
Now you're going with your family. This isn't the spring break that, you know, we saw in the 1983 movie Spring Break.
No. This is a subdued version.
Will you be entering a belly flop contest?
Based on my current symptoms, nope. No, I will not. I'm going to be gingerly swimming at best. No belly flopping for me. Otherwise, I feel like I can put on a pretty good belly flop.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying it's the same as Mexico, but a couple, three days ago, for the very first time in the history of my life, I made homemade tacos.
Okay.
Now, not the kind that you get like in the El Paso box or whatever. What's it called? El Paso? Right.
Sure.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Not the ones you buy in the aisle with the crunchy things with the pre-mix that you put in the ground beef or whatever. Not that. I've had those before. I thought, I'm going to make actual real tacos. And so I did the pulled pork and the slow cooker and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Smelled amazing.
Okay.
Tasted okay.
Okay.
That's a little upsetting. So let me know how it goes in Mexico. Maybe maybe you have a little more success than I did. My first outing, and however, I'm going to go ahead. I'm speaking of Amazon. Which for the fourth time, I'm 75% of the way to buying a tortilla press.
Ooh,
yeah, you can make your own tortillas, your own corn tortillas at home. And what do you think a cast iron tortilla press? What do you think that costs?
$50.
Yeah, $30.
Okay.
So I figure for $30 is reasonable, right?
Yeah, sure it is.
Like if you make corn tortillas three times in a year, that's probably worth that.
Sure.
But just impress your friends.
Yeah.
And hopefully try to catch one of their fingers in it and squish it.
That's not nice.
Eh. Funny though.
Yeah.
Not your finger, obviously, because you're gonna be watching for it now.
Yeah.
I shot some headshots this week.
Okay.
Well, last week, but it's sort of in my ongoing white background contract. I have an ongoing contract with a university in town. I say a university, like there's seven of them, but one faculty. That's the word, right? Faculty is one part of it.
Sure.
Or one department, one department of the faculty. I actually don't pay attention. I just take the photos. I'll be honest with you. I am bad at organizing stuff. Like my wife asked me, hey, so is it that group that you're taking? I don't know. I don't know who I'm doing it for. All I know is they show up, I take a picture, they pay me. That's all I know.
That's good, yeah.
That's what you have to know. That's the part. So anyways, so I ended up, so this is, this part of it was I did a couple photos for that. Like every time they hire someone new for their website, they come to my house and I photograph them. And then I got like a spinoff contract, like a Mork and Mindy to Happy Days spinoff, where somebody else knew one of the other teachers, or professors, and said, "Oh, hey, we need it for whatever we do." Again, I should know this, but I don't. And they said, "Hey, can we do something similar?" Like similar, you can do the exact same thing if you want. And so they came over. But here's the thing is I had scheduled it. They instructed their professors to just basically schedule with me independently. Like, hey, get in touch with this guy, he'll schedule it. I was like, oh man, I hate scheduling. Like that's actually the worst part of my job.
Right.
And so, all right, fine. So all of a sudden, at like 9 a.m. on Monday morning, the doorbell rings. And we had just got back from our skiing from the week before. And I had 100% forgot that someone was coming.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I was wearing pants, fortunately.
Okay, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, so step one, pants were on. That was good. But I had nothing set up. So these are all white background with like the white seamless. Although I don't make it seamless. I just use it for a background. And like a three light setup. And you know, I set it up by myself. It generally takes me, it's not something I set up in 3 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's probably 20 minutes start to finish. But point was, there she was at the door. Hey, who, take my picture. And I said, hey, want to come back in an hour? And so she did. Turns out I actually know her by accident. It was just sheer coincidence. I know her personally. And she said, yeah, no problem. She came back an hour later. I was very sheepish about it, but it was all set up. I set it up by then. And she needed a passport photo.
Mm-hmm.
But she told me ahead of time, she also needs a passport photo. Can I do that? Which I would then charge her for. But I just gave it to her for free for being an idiot.
Yeah, that's probably
the idiot.
Yeah, that was probably fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Funny thing is though, here in Germany, you can take your own passport photo as long as it meets the requirements. You don't have to have some special $40 stamp from London Drugs.
Yeah, I hate that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so point being is I shot those and then the very next day, I was scheduled for the one guy was coming. I think the boss of the whole group was coming. And he said, hey, can I bring a couple guys with me? Is that okay? A couple of other guys who hadn't made, you know, scheduled appointments yet? And I was like, yeah, sure. Yes, of course you can. Like, I don't have to schedule them? Yes, done. So he showed up. There's five of them. All five, the last five guys all came together. And we were in and out in 20 minutes.
Perfect.
Oh, it's like, yeah. Like snap, like we need three photos of the guys. They want three photos for the website. So I snapped about 10 each and picked three, you know, and I said, hey guys, we got this. If you want more, we can do more. But they're like, no, we're good. We can go. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. 20 minutes done and done.
Perfect.
I love it. But the photography point of it is that for these, the last stretch of these, I have been using the 24-105 for headshots.
Okay.
I never thought I would. I generally shoot with the 70-200 for headshots. I've been shooting and loving the 24-105 thing I bought for video, which we'll talk about later in the episode. It is now my new go-to portrait lens.
Cool. Is that because of the white background? Like, it's the depth of field, it doesn't really matter, so it's just easier, it's lighter.
Yeah.
It's got image stabilization, right?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is, and again, that's going to be the topic for later on. So just a little teaser for the folks listening at home. There you go. So we'll bring that up again in a minute. Meanwhile, photo challenge. Last week, we talked about shooting with the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And all that's involved. And so the challenge this week is iPhone. Let's have a look at yours.
Mine is a submission from my wife. I ran into some trouble yesterday with when my back pain struck. Of course, I left this challenge to the last minute. And so my wife went on a walk and I said, can you please snap a picture with your phone? And I'm going to submit it for the photo challenge. And she did. This is straight out of her camera.
I hope now, just because of that. I didn't know it was her.
Okay.
I hope this finishes in our top nine this year.
It probably will, yeah.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah. So anyway, so this was from her walk. And she took two photos. This was better than the other photo. I can't remember
really?
The other one. The other photo was of the sun. And it was just basically all the colors were washed out. Uh-huh. So I liked the little bit of reflection in the blue sky. So I was like, yep, that's the one we're going with. She's using the iPhone 6, I believe. I don't think it's the 6S. I think it's the 6. And yeah, straight out of camera, no editing whatsoever. This is from her camera to the Dropbox. There you go.
Does she have one leg shorter than the other?
Just because of the slight tilt?
Yeah.
It's not massive, but yes, I think
I'm assuming she has one of those big shoes.
I would have corrected it had I cared or been in less discomfort. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad making fun of it now because I like your wife.
Yeah. You can, go ahead and make fun of it. I'm going to tell her that you.
No, I'm going to call this. Okay. You know what? I'm actually going to go a different direction, which I was going to go anyways. I have a name for this photo.
Okay.
I'm going to call this Rhine 3.
Okay. Explain.
Do you know what Rhine 2 is?
No.
Do you know what the Rhine River is?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
It's a river here in Deutschland.
Sure.
So at the time, a couple years ago, it set the record for most expensive photo ever sold. It's since been eclipsed by some dude named Peter Lick, whose gallery I've been to in Australia by accident. Before I even knew who he was, 17 years ago. How long has Peter Lick been famous? Yeah, I don't think you even know who he is, do you?
No, I don't know.
Peter Lick, L-I-K. The guy takes some fantastic pictures, but he sells them for an exorbitant amount of money, which I don't really understand. They are good, however. I remember I had some on a rainy day in Sydney or wherever I was. I might have been up north in Australia, walking around, had time to kill. Might have been in Cairns. And I remember walking into his gallery, not knowing who he was, and just thinking, yeah, these are nice. Later on, a couple of years ago, he set the record for the most expensive photo ever taken. However, the one before that is a somewhat famous photo called Rhine 2 by some dude named Gursky. And I forget his first name. I'll say Alexander. Let's be honest. It's probably Alexander. And it's a photo of the Rhine River, R-E-H-R-H-E-I-N, and then Roman numeral 2. Go ahead and Google it. Actually, Adam, while I'm doing this, can you do that? Can you make that happen?
R-H-E-I-N. It hurts for me to move.
Uh-huh. Totally worth it, though.
Okay.
Sold for like $4 million. That picture that you're looking at right there.
Which I'm
sold
not looking
for $4 million.
Okay. I'm not looking at it, though.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to?
I'm going to try. R-H-E-I-N.
Yeah.
Number 2.
Space II. Do II. It'll come up. So at the time, it was 2011 maybe. I'm not sure when it was actually sold.
It's beautiful.
Would you pay $4 million for that?
No, I don't have $4
When your wife took almost the same picture. His is level, to be fair.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the big shoe.
I feel like I could have fixed mine in post-processing and gotten at least 2.5.
But based on this, now, huh?
Yeah.
Like what?
It's pretty weird.
Now he's taking some good photos. I happen to like the one he took. I guess the print that you get is massive. Like it's a huge, it fills your wall, but I don't know if bigger is better in this case. I think it's probably worse, but, yeah, so somebody paid that much money for it. There's another one that he's taken that I actually kind of like. I like in the fact that if you told me, hey man, like I'll give you can get this for $80. I'm like, yeah, 75, we have a deal. But the one of him, like the dollar store, the department store or something like that, it's actually a reasonably good photo. However.
His name is Andreas, by the way.
Andreas, what did I say, Alexander?
Yeah, you're close.
Yeah, Andreas is short for Alexander.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he cares. I think he's spending his $4 million, and he's doing just fine. But there you go. So I'm going to call this this Rhine 2. You can show this. You can show the Rhine. This is Rhine 3 your wife's taken. You can show the Rhine 2 to her at some point when you get better and let her know that she almost tied the second most expensive photo ever sold.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
She'll be happy.
I wouldn't have been so kind if I knew this was you who took it.
Okay.
Yeah.
My wife's texting me asking like how I'm feeling and I'm going to say I'm hurting, but not as bad as your photo. Should I say? Now, should I text her back?
Tell her that somebody owes her $4.1 million.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to text.
Tell her to Google Rhine 2 and just see if she understands what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you doing that now? Should I bebop and scat while you're doing it?
I can't move in that direction.
Okay. Let's have a look at my photo. This is my daughter.
Yeah.
Shot with the iPhone.
It's nice. I'm not sure if it's, you know, a little bit of magic from just all the colors, like the colors in this photo are kind of what makes the photo. So I'm not sure that, again, it's the camera or just the fact that the camera, I guess, is enough out of the way that it doesn't matter because the colors, the perspective, it's all nice. It wouldn't matter what you took the photo with.
That's the point. What camera makes the photo?
Well, if you shot this same photo with the 85, it would be better.
I don't know that it would.
I feel like
better
it
in
would.
What way? What would be better about it?
I think that like the distortion part of it is the only part that I find a little bit.
What distortion? The distortion. Like this is I'm standing on a ladder shooting down.
Yeah, but it's just her face and her nose. Like it just I think it would be a more pleasing image of her face. And again, maybe it's marginal of the 85. Something looks a little bit. Like the perspective looks a little bit exaggerated, whereas it would have flattened it out with the 85, or even probably the 50. Yeah. But the photo's good. There's no doubt. I like the photo.
Okay, maybe the 50, but I couldn't have shot this with the 85. It's not possible. I would have had to get up too high on the ladder.
Right, right.
And so therefore, it's irrelevant. I would never shoot this with this. I agree. You're 100% right in what you're saying. However, what I tried to do was embrace the format, meaning like, okay, I know that shooting with the iPhone, you're going to go wide like that. That is going to happen. So we had horrible, I shot this today. We have terrible, terrible weather. So there's not even anything interesting about the weather in that I could have shot a nice photo of her, make her stand out, make her eyes pop or her skin pop. Had like even with the DSLR, there's nothing I could have done if I'd lit it, but in terms of available light, there's nothing I could have done with a DSLR today with a wider shot and made it look interesting.
Right.
And so I knew this. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get up on a ladder. I'm going to eliminate the horrible background, the horrible weather, focus on her, and then the wet pavement. That was the plan. And I shot it with an 85. There's no way I could have got high enough to actually get her in focus. Like the minimum focus distance with the 85 is actually way too far. It's like 1.2 meters or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Can't be that far. 1.2. It's pretty far. Without me looking, it's farther than I'd like it to be. So there's no way it would happen. The 50 would work, but even at this distance, it's going to distort her as well. Maybe not as much, however. So you're not wrong about that. And I did turn off the lens correction.
Okay.
Because they have the thing built in. Now, I shot this in using the Lightroom app that we talked about last week in the raw DNG format and did all the modifications in Lightroom. Which means you can turn off the built-in perspective correction thing that they kind of throw in that I don't much care for usually. I can dial in the sharpness where I want it. I can dial the colors in. I can bring back some of the highlights, which I tried to do in camera anyways. I put myself in a good position to get the nice colors. I knew she was wearing that jacket. I knew, you know, hey, grab that umbrella, turn it so the pink side's out, et cetera, et cetera. And then just kind of fine-tuned it. So camera here is somewhat irrelevant, except for the fact that if you're in a situation where that's all you bring with you, you can get, I think this is a much better result than, well, your flip phone, I guess.
What about the Rhine 3?
The Rhine 3 is definitely superior to this.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, this is in the 2 to 3 million range.
Yeah.
U.S. dollars we're talking.
Right.
Yeah, but point being, if someone, like, if this is your point and shoot shot, that doesn't sound right. Your point and shoot photo, hard to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know that, like, this was staged. A lot of the challenges that we do, that you and I do, especially the last couple of years at least, are essentially staged for the show. Like, it's rare that we bring out a you know, candid snapshot.
Right.
And so this is one of them. So this might not be, you know, the best example of a photo I'm going to frame, but I'm pretty happy with the results that you get from that silly little phone.
Sure, yeah. Oh, I think it's a really good photo.
And just in retrospect, and also in referencing last week's episode, you can see on her left sleeve where you put your ski pass.
Sure, yeah.
That's what it is. That's not, I just noticed that now, that wasn't part of the photo. But point being, if your phone can handle shooting RAW, I highly recommend it in situations like this, because you can really dial in exactly how you want it. Although the iPhone version probably be pretty good as well. All right. Topic this week is IS, as you sort of alluded to. Good call, Adam. We don't talk about this ahead of time.
No.
Barely talk about it now.
Yeah. Go ahead and explain why IS is so awesome.
Have we tackled we must have tackled IS before.
When you got that lens initially, there was talk about it because you were pretty happy with how it performed.
The video.
Yeah, but I'm not sure, you know, dedicated to just still photos, if there was a big discussion or not. Other than to say,
back in the day,
it works. Yeah.
I think a solid 8 years ago we talked about it.
Okay, that's very possible.
And people have asked us. We get the occasional person asking for advice on, hey, which camera should I buy? Which lens should I buy? And, you know, do I need IS? And my answer up until now has been, you don't need IS. In fact, you know, didn't want it, didn't need it, couldn't afford it if I did, right? So first of all, what is IS? What does IS stand for?
Do you want me to answer?
Sure.
Image stabilization.
Image stabilization. So I think they call it VR in the Nikon world.
Which is vibration reduction. Yeah, vibration, yeah.
The latest thing that's coming out is IBIS. Which is a chain of hotels here in Europe, but it's also in-body image stabilization. So the Canon has them all in the lens. Some of the manufacturers had moved years ago to stabilizing the actual camera. Therefore, the lens didn't matter whether it had stabilization or not.
Right.
And then, and even Canon now is apparently on the next one, moving towards in-body image stabilization. But a long time ago, I just poo-pooed it, as did you, I think.
Yeah, I don't have anything that has it.
I mean, it at the time, it did not fit into my shooting style. I bought the 70-200 without, like, the F4 without the IS for a reason, for the same reason you did. I think you bought yours not long after I bought mine.
Yeah, it was cost was the primary reason.
Cost, but also, you know, it wasn't cost, because you're not poor, you're not cheap, however, you don't see the need to just throw money away for no reason,
right,
and then that's how I feel as well. By no means am I rich. I mean, we're doing a podcast, for crying out loud, but I didn't see the value in it. That was my issue. Is I looked at, how was I going to be shooting with the 70-200 specifically? I'm going to be outside a lot. First of all, it's a long lens. You're not shooting in a small room with it. You're not shooting, you know, photos on a ladder of your daughter with an umbrella. That's not the lens for it. So you're going to be outside, and ergo, you're probably going to have a lot of light. Why do you need image stabilization? You probably don't. You're going to go shoot sports. You're going to go shoot pictures of your son playing hockey. Right. Well, image stabilization does nothing for you, because in order to stop the action, you need a quick shutter speed anyway. So if you need the image stabilization to hold your camera still, your son's skating too fast anyway. Therefore, useless. Okay? So way back in the day when digital video started becoming a thing, I bought my first digital video camera, a Canon XL1, circa 1999. An interesting tidbit for the kids. That year, I partied like it was the same year.
Wow.
Yeah. I was ahead of the game. Or behind. No, I'll check when that came out. Point being, I had the XL1. Now, the lens it came with, it had image stabilization built in. It was a Canon camera. It was kind of a pain in the ass. It worked-ish. But for video, now we're talking like, it was shooting like 640 by 480 on this tiny little, forget what it was, like a third-inch sensor, like just tiny. Like not HD at all. Like it was just really, it was amazing at the time, but now you'd look at it and laugh. Watch the movie Bowfinger with Eddie Murphy and Steve Martin. It's a funny movie. I think that camera is featured prominently in that movie. They shoot a lot of the stuff in the movie. They don't shoot the movie with it, but they shoot the movie within the movie with a Canon XL1. And it looks kind of funny. Great camera, loved it. But the image stabilization, I use it a lot, but it kind of had this weird sort of dragging effect where when you're on a long lens and you're kind of moving the camera, there'd be a little kind of, I can't really explain it, but it would sort of be a little pause in the motion that you were creating. So it was nice for handheld stuff, but as long as you were careful, it worked.
Right.
And then I forgot about it. And then I moved to the DSLRs and stopped shooting with that camera a long, long time ago and forgot all about IS. I think it was on my 17 to 85 that came with my 40D when I bought it, but I ended up, that lens broke and I threw it away and never shot video with it. And then for a long time, poo-pooed it, didn't need it. Then last year, a few months ago, picked up the 24 to 105, which we did an episode about. Strictly for video. I bought it because of video. I needed the run and gun capabilities that it offered. And it also had IS. And I started shooting stills with it because why not? I paid money for it. I'm gonna see what it is. And it's an L lens. And then I changed my mind on IS. Holy cow, is it awesome at portraits? I never would have thought that. I would have assumed that no, don't need it. Couldn't use it, right?
Right.
Well, I'm shooting white backgrounds. When you're shooting white backgrounds, do you have a specific starting point for an aperture, for an f-stop that you use?
This is just for a headshot?
Just for a headshot. You're shooting a headshot on a white background.
Probably f8.
F8. F8 and be there, man. It's called that for a reason. F8 is great. I don't know if that's a t-shirt, but we should make that.
Okay.
Not really. That was terrible. F8 is my 100% starting point. It gives exactly like right where you want to be for headshots. When you have a neutral background, like a white background. If you're shooting it out somewhere else and you want to blur the background, well, now you have to think about it. But you have the studio set up. You're good to go at F8. So whether I shoot with a prime 85mm F1.8 or the 70 to 200 F4 or the 25 to 105 F4, I'm still shooting at F8 no matter what. So it's not really coming. It is coming into play, but not really.
Okay.
Do you typically have a general focal length that you shoot with in a white background scenario?
Well, if it was a headshot, probably the 85.
Probably the 85. And so generally, I mean, I used to shoot with the 70 to 200, but I would still find myself, I'd be at around the 100 to 105 mil range anyways. Or the 85. Sometimes the 85, because I love that too. But generally, turns out the 24 to 105 will handle. But generally, I would be shooting at that range anyways. So it's kind of right in the wheelhouse. I can't go closer, but I don't need to. And you mentioned it earlier in the episode, the image stabilization is an absolute game changer when shooting in this scenario. And I didn't think it would be. I thought, I can hold the camera still. I don't need it. Or I'll use a tripod if I have to. I don't like tripods, Adam.
Okay.
You?
No, I tend to not use them.
In the studio, it slows you down. You want to quickly just make like a quick little adjustment. Bam. It's better to just move your feet. I have a tripod. I do use it for certain things. I understand its value. I just don't like it. Much like the value of a helmet when you're snowboarding, I just don't like it.
Right.
Okay? I understand I could be wrong. Here we are. This is me doing it. So here's where the game changer comes in. When you're shooting in studio, you're not shooting with high speed sync, and therefore your max shutter speed is going to be something in the range of
1/200th of a second.
1/200th of a second. And since you're shooting at f/8, your flash pulse is probably going to be, like, if you're shooting with strobes like I am, like Nikon SB28s or whatever, your strobe into an umbrella is going to be in around the 1/4 power to 1/2 power range to get enough light to fill up f/8 at a reasonable ISO, which for me is 320. I shoot at 320, f/8, 1/200th of a second, which is the max sync speed.
Okay.
Now in the room, that's dark. Like without a flash, it's black. You start adding the flash to it. To fill up the f/8, you need a long enough sync time. So, flash pulse. So that combined with the 1/200th of a second maximum, you're going to find out that every once in a while you get camera shake on your pictures. No matter how good you are, it shows up every now and then. Not the end of the world. I mean, I dealt with it. I've been shooting with the 70-200 and say, that's okay. I just won't use that one. But what happens if that photo is the one that is the photo? And then the client tells you, oh, yeah, well, I want, you know, IMG 3864. And you say, well, yeah, but if you look closely in the eyes, you'll see there's a little bit of camera blur. I can't use that one. What about 3865? They don't like that one. It's not big, anymore.
Big dilemma.
Sounds like real world problems here. But here's the thing. Having the IS kills that. I do not miss anymore. Like my miss rate was low before, but it was an acceptable miss rate. Now it is zero. That IS completely kills any camera shake. So I happen to actually love image stable, and this is old image stabilization, like the 24-105. I don't have the new version of the lens. This is the old one, and I still like the technology then was great. It's just getting better. You watched the video I posted last week of the skiing, yes?
Yes.
There were some shots that were just a little bit rough, a little bit bouncy. Those are the ones I shot with the fake GoPro, the faux pro.
Right.
No image stabilization at all, which I didn't think I needed. I mean, I was very disappointed with that camera on the ski hill. In the pool, love the thing. It's great. $40 goes underwater with the little housing. My kids can go with it. If they lose it, break it, I don't actually care. So there, it's great. And I thought it would be fantastic up on the hill. Big wide angle lens for video. Generally, you can keep still. It looks great. It didn't look great. It was bouncing all over. No image stabilization whatsoever. So I'm not going to use it for that anymore. Like it's not coming with me next time. But I tried to stabilize it in Adobe Premiere, and it actually does a very good job, but it was so rough that it had to crop it too much. That's a whole different episode. GoPro themselves, the real GoPro, which now you're going to spend like $400 on a camera, which I'm not. They actually have some pretty amazing image stabilization, which is like a software version, I believe, versus a hardware version, which basically shoots wider than you need and then sort of just chooses the middle part and evens it out. Like an overscan and stabilize.
Okay.
Very cool. Like it is amazing looking. So the technology is getting great. And having that, like a little built-in software, is much handier than having to use like a little gimbal or a Steadicam or something like that. You don't want to be messing around with that.
Right.
Point is, I have changed my mind on IS, on image stabilization.
Okay.
Somewhat. At least somewhat. Not 100%. I'm not throwing out my old lenses. My 24-105 isn't my go-to lens in general. It is for headshots in studio and will be, I'll get a lot of use out of it shooting like baseball cards photos this summer and stuff like that. So I'm going to keep all my primes that I love shooting with. I prefer them. I'm not going to get rid of them, but it is great to have one lens that has IS for this very reason.
Cool.
So now you have to go buy one. Okay. Sorry. All right. Maybe the guy with the catcher's mitt also has a 24-105 kicking around.
Yeah. If he responds to me, then I'll ask him.
Ask him.
Yeah.
Let him know I sent you.
Okay.
Don't know what that'll do though. All right. So now you know what is.
Great.
Yeah. I didn't write that down. That was just off the top of my head.
Yeah. It's very, very funny.
Zing. Photo challenge. Do you have one for next week?
Yes, I have one.
Is it image stabilization? That'd be sweet. That'd be completely tied in with what we're talking about.
No, it's not that.
Okay.
Sorry, just spasm. It is Silhouette.
Ooh, Silhouette. The old nightclub in Richmond, you mean?
Sure. Yeah, we haven't done that in a long time.
Or Earthquake Annie's.
Okay, either.
Do you want me to just start naming nightclubs that no longer exist in Richmond, BC?
Sure.
Okay. Frank's Place.
Okay. Any more?
Woody's Pub.
Oh, I think that's still there.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not
still there. I've never heard of it. I just wanted to say that.
The Diamond Club.
Oh, that's for the high rollers.
Yeah. Baker Street.
Nope.
That's for cougars.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't even know what cougars are, but
yeah, you know.
Yes, I do. What? Okay. Anyway, so if Silhouettes. Silhouettes was one of them. That was the joke. Silhouettes. Okay, or Silhouette.
Just singular.
I see where this is going. I see. You just got back from Mexico, where you shot a photo of your kids against the sunset.
I'm hoping that's. I'm
Assuming they don't mind getting their picture taken from the hotel room where you're laid up with a bad back.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I can support the camera, maybe my wife will shoot another photo challenge for me.
Well, yeah, pay the mortgage, man, what she's doing, evidently.
Yeah, yeah. Top 10, here we come.
All right, that's actually a nightclub here in Tübingen.
Top 10?
Top 10, I'm not joking.
Awesome.
You're running the table, man.
Awesome.
Top 10, there's Butter Pretzel. And,
oh, that's my favorite.
And the Schwarze Schaff. Okay. There's one named after you, Schwarze Schaff.
Which translates to?
The Black Sheep.
Oh, sounds delicious. Yeah.
The black Sheep. All right. Monthly photo challenge is a semi-stranger portrait, which again is very tough. I encourage you to do it anyways. I will stop short of begging you to do it, but do it for your own sake. Hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram, and we will check that out. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com. We can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.